Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
And across from me today, as JP continues his daddy leave, it is the great Jake Volnick, a.k.a. Big Weech.
You forget my last name there for a second?
No, I didn't. I remembered as I was going to say it that Ken said earlier this week that he thinks you don't like the Big Weech nickname, and then that's where I was going to go after it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, we... there was a whole conversation I had with Ken.
Yeah.
Not a long one, but it was just between, because Ken's in here for the Browns preview show.
Yeah.
It was last week at this point. And he walked in and goes, "You like that nickname?" I go, "I'm kind of indifferent about it, right?" Mm-hmm. Like, I've always told you that. Mm-hmm. I've always told you it really, like, it's not like I'm in love with it, but it's not like I dislike it. It's mm-hmm. just kind of, you gave it to me and it's here and it is what it is. And
so Ken editorialized it, is what I'm understanding.
Right? He's like, "If you say that, sounds like you don't like it."
Mm, okay. All right. Well, you are the big Norwegian.
Yeah.
And it should be noted.
Even though I'm not Norwegian.
Yet,
to my knowledge.
That you know. Yes. What if I am better than 23andMe, which has now gone out of business? But what if I just am like Norwegian? Well, how weird would it be if I just had that ability to be like, you're about 12% Bosnian?
Yeah, wouldn't that be wild? What if you're just like, I'm like, oh, you know, I think I have a German blood. I know there's some Czech something in there. I think it's Czechoslovakian at this point.
That'd be weird if it was anything other than Czechoslovakian.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, no, I think you're mostly Norwegian. I think that's actually the main thing. And I got a test and it was like, yeah, you're actually 85% Norwegian. That would be an impressive skill. I would probably just have you walk around with people on the street and be like, that person.
I mean, I'd be a great carnival barker. I will say, like, I know half Hungarian, because my mom is 100% Hungarian, grandparents fresh off the boat. And I know that I'm mostly Irish, but as they are from Southern Ohio, the exact classification is closer to mutt. But I do get to claim, because I've seen somebody in my family that is, you know, related to me. I've seen some of their 23andMe, and it said enough Irish that I can go, I'm basically half Irish, even though really what I mean is I'm basically half mutt. Now, I will tell you something that happened last night during the Guardians' latest win over the Tigers. They go for the sweep tonight. It's a bullpen game for Detroit. Would be nice to get this one over by the fifth inning. I've never been this confident, this relaxed as a Guardians fan, Cleveland fan, even in my life. I always wait to talk smack until the final inning. To the final out is recorded. Because I've just learned, right? Much like we've been on the opposite side of those Green Bay losses. Green Bay lost this weekend. We usually lose those games. And so being a Cleveland sports fan has told me, don't talk until they can't bring it back. Dwayne Rudd has taught me, do not talk until it's officially done and there's no penalty. I even love that part of the Packers game on Sunday where Nathan was waiting for verification of, what's that penalty on? It's on the Packers, we win! Like, that's how you are as a Cleveland fan. And last night, it was right before they added the final two runs, the insurance runs. I was like, okay, this game's over. I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to get some sleep tonight. Because I hadn't gotten sleep all week, and I was like, you know, I think this game's done. It was in the seventh inning. Like, you want to talk about how ridiculous this run has been and how thoroughly cooked the Tigers are, especially when they play the Guardians, is that I was like, okay, I guess we're gonna go to bed here. And so as I was going upstairs, I noticed, oh, Hosey, more runs, cool, 5-1, all right. And then I slept as well as I've slept all week. Because I just knew no matter how much time was left in the game was over, and it sure was.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I was on the air at that point, and I was waiting to react to the game. But there, even early on in a way that we haven't been able to be all season long. Like, in both of the games they just played against the Tigers, they go down first, right? And I know that the broadcast had flashed the graphic coming into this series. It was like, team that scores first when it's the Tigers, they were 60-20 on the year. When it was the Guardians, they were 59-20. Mm-hmm. So the key to the game was basically score first and you win. Both of the nights the Tigers have scored first, and even when they were down 2-0 on Tuesday, I was sitting there and I was like, there was a time this season where I would have been like, they're done.
Yeah.
Like, down 2-0, you're entering the fifth or the sixth inning.
That was like 3 weeks ago, by the way, the time you're referring to.
Wasn't that long ago. But it was just like, the offense won't put up runs, they won't do it. Both those games, I sat there and I'm like, you just have a feeling that the comeback is just waiting here. Even if it wasn't Guardians win the game, just because it's 2-0 going into the sixth, where at one point it was so out of it, and you're like, that might be, you know, the thing that just puts this team down in the dumps and they're just going to swing away for the last four innings. It was like, no, this team's not even close to coming out of it, and I can't just turn off the TV because Guardians didn't score first, this one's over.
Yeah. Well, and to what you're saying, like, there have been so many times where you can, for the opposite, I have called games early. Mm-hmm. And again, occasionally they've surprised me, but it's just, and here's the other thing, it's just fun. Like, this has been just unbridled fun, and it has been. Like, what's funny is, Tuesday's game was so much fun outside of the David Fry thing. It was so much fun that I just was so charged up. But, like, I didn't fear losing last night. And by the way, even had they lost, I would have been like, okay, we'll get them again tonight. That's such a rarefied air to be in. And it's so funny because we've, you know, there's been so many different ways of defining the historic run for the Cleveland Guardians. And it starts with, you know, the biggest lead erased in the division, right? And then it goes to, in these 21-22 games, you have the, I mean, you've given up like 30 runs or something like that. And the next closest team is like in the 70s or 80s, right? So there are so many, the starting pitching, the bullpen, the timely hitting, the three hits that you got in the sixth inning of the first game of this series. There are so many different ways where it's just like, oh, you just have to sit back and enjoy one of the all-time greatest heaters. And the whole will the pitching regress thing, fair conversation. Probably at some point, but I don't know. Hey, can this translate into postseason? I think so, but I don't know. All those conversations, and by the way, that we have to start having now because we haven't had them for the three previous weeks because none of this was real until a week ago. We were all just playing with house money until a week ago. Now we get to have them, and we don't have to do the paralysis by overanalysis thing because it's just good vibes every night. Like, you don't get this. Like, this exact confluence of events has never happened before, and it will never happen again. And I think people in this town know enough about baseball and how all of these seasons, good and bad, have gone over the last 30 years since 1994 when they moved into that building. Don't question it, right? Yeah, there's a conversation for another day. Today, just enjoy the vibes. Just enjoy what is so historic and so outlandish. And then if they don't win the World Series, I'll worry about that when they don't win the World Series. Or if they do win the World Series, it'd be the funniest team that possibly could win a World Series in Indians history.
Yeah, I mean, I was even just taking calls throughout the past two nights. I did get the vibe, by the way, that a majority of the fan base, like probably 95% of our callers were much so on the same track that you're on, where it's, let's not focus on the things ahead. Like, this is an incredible run. Let's focus on the run. I mean, we had, as wild as it is, a father and a son call in completely separate of each other. Went to the game together, got in their separate cars, drove away, didn't know they were on the line at the same time. Both of them were like, this is generational. Like, this is things that will set this team up, that you will be talking about it for generations, that will make Guardians fans right now that, you know, you were on the fence. It was like, you watch the season. Do I really want to be a Guardians fan? These are the things that make you a lifelong fan of this team.
So this came up in the pre-show meeting, and I am genuinely curious where you land on it. I know it's been described as Detroit hate week. That's a little forced, but it is a fun week because you've got the second three-game series with the Tigers. This one's at home, which helps in 2 weeks' time, and then we kind of buttress that at the end of the week with the Lions game. So does the Guardians-Tigers divisional race add more juice to this Lions game?
The answer for me is undoubtedly yes, but it almost makes me feel like a bad person.
Why is that?
Because I'm like, the only reason why it adds more juice to it is because I basically want to kick Detroit fans while they're down. And I'm like, it makes me feel like a bad person. You know, the Lions are projected way higher than the Browns are ever going to be this season, are probably going to be more successful than the Browns will be, have been in the past. I don't know. You could probably go back to 99. The Lions might be more successful this year than they have ever been. But it's just like, I see you down, and I'm watching this play out, and I'm watching the collapse on social media of Tigers fans, and I'm like, those are also Lions fans, and I think it'd be really funny, and it'd be a lot of fun if I could just throw one more kick your way.
If this was somehow like a Detroit Pistons playoff series, I know that's not how things line up, but if it was like Cavs Pistons in the Eastern Conference Finals while you're getting ready to go to the playoffs and trumping the Tigers on the way, it would be for me. It would be. It would add so much more juice because those are the two places where there is real historical heat between the two organizations. There's an element of this, though, that I'm like, there's nothing the Browns can or can't do on Sunday that will ruin this for me. Like, I'm going to tell you right now, my buddy Jim Costa was on Tuesday. He texted me as Scooble was falling apart, and he said, I'm not having fun right now. And I was like, that's funny because I am enjoying every second of it. He did not return my text, by the way, nor has he texted me since that moment because I gloated just enough. But like, I guarantee you, if the Lions put boots to your asses on Sunday the way that they did to the Ravens on Monday, I guarantee you he's going to send a text of who's laughing now. And I'll be like, I still am. Yeah, because you're supposed to beat the Cleveland Browns, and quite frankly, for 140 games, you were supposed to beat the Cleveland Guardians and didn't happen. Like, to me, it's added value, but I'm not more excited for this Lions game because I still compartmentalize Lions fandom and Tigers fandom, even though we know they're the same people.
Yeah, maybe that's where I feel like I'm a bad person, though, because I'm in a place where it's like, okay, I'm with you, right? Like, it's not going to ruin the Guardians, anything Guardians-wise for me if the Browns go out to lose. The expectation is that the Browns go out and lose against the Lions. But it would be the same thing. The same way that actually you brought up the Cavs and the Pistons, if they played each other in the playoffs, it'd be another moment for me. I'd be like, okay, well, I did it to the Tigers. I managed to do it to the Lions, even though I'm sure season-wise they'll have the last laugh. If I can do it to the Pistons in the playoffs too, that's like the cherry on top. It's the fun of almost watching a fan base collapse because, like, you feel bad for him in a very slight way where it's like, yeah, I get where you're coming from. But also, I've been in that moment so many times and I've been kicked while I'm down that it's actually kind of fun to do it to somebody else.
Maybe this is the way I think about it. If Jim is able to text me on Sunday, how about those Browns, whatever? My response is going to be, you know, this doesn't offset what happened this week, right? Or over these last month, because this is one day, and that was one month of slowly stalking you like Michael Myers in Halloween, and you could not get away. No matter how fast you ran, no matter which direction you ran, you had a steak knife in your hand at one point, and that son of a gun still turned it around on you at some point. 216-474-0092. We got quick hits coming up at 2:40 today. We got John Fanta. The man's got a huge game this weekend for NBC and for the NFL on NBC. We'll get his take on this Guardians run. He's feeling himself. That didn't sound right, but he's really feeling great about himself is what I was trying to say. Pete Futek coming up at 4:20. We'll talk about Ohio State, Washington. My, how that line has shifted. And Cash Lovett, speaking of the line, we'll talk about the Browns and Lions. We'll get a couple more things. Cash joins us at 6:30 every single Thursday as we get you ready for the weekend in football. But 216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Volnick Jake on Twitter, social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Does Guardians Tigers, does this divisional race add more juice to this Lions game on Sunday? And the stone cold truth about the Browns and Lions coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I will say, we're just talking, you know, does the Tigers Guardians divisional race add more juice to the Lions? And the one thing I haven't said is there's just no crossover between the rivalries. I think that is that doesn't mean, by the way, a win wouldn't make it 3% sweeter. But that would also just be because a Browns win going with the Guardians, taking the division and then hosting a playoff game at some point next week. Well, that's just good fun.
Yeah. Have to turn on the mic.
There you go.
Yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
Again, I'm in a spot where it's like, yeah, well, I've only been doing this for, check, like 7 months full time.
I forget once a week. Don't worry. I've been doing it since I was 21.
But it is. It's in a spot, though, like the rivalry doesn't cross over, but in a way this week it does. Like,
is it because you want it to, not because it actually does?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's okay if that's the answer.
No, it is the answer. It 100% is the answer. Like, it doesn't cross. Like, there's no hatred between Browns Lions. In fact, there's almost like...
It's more self-hatred.
Yeah, right. I was going to say...
Mutual almost, self-hatred.
There's almost like, I don't know, a brotherhood, but like, you look across it and it's like that team also went 0-16 and has suffered basically as bad as we have as a football team.
There's also envy, right?
Like, yeah, that they've gotten better and we haven't.
Well, no, it's also how they've gotten better. Like, if we liked Freddie Kitchens because he said whoopity hell and talked about drinking beer, I mean, Dan Campbell's this like the same kind of football guy, except he actually can coach, right? Like, yeah. The style of play that Detroit plays is incredibly physical, buoyed by an incredible offensive line and one of the best edge rushers in the NFL. Sound familiar to the Browns' success when John Dorsey was here? Oh, hey, the architect of some of your success in John Dorsey is also the architect of their success. Like, there's so many parallels. I think if there's any juice between the Browns and Lions, it's, man, that could have been us on some level.
Yeah, it's also, when you talk about the way they've done it, too, it's like you kind of stay true to the vibe and the personality of your city if you're the Detroit, which is a similar vibe and personality to the city of Cleveland, right? It's the middle class, the working class of, okay, Dan Campbell's somebody that you'd say would represent the city of Detroit. And if he was here, if he was here, would say he probably represents the city of Cleveland. The way that you look at Nick Chubb, he represents it. The way that you can look at even Myles Garrett to agree and to say, okay, he represents by working as hard as he does the city of Cleveland.
He's also a blue collar head coach, and Kevin's an Ivy Leaguer. Right. And we're a blue collar town, not necessarily an Ivy League town.
Yeah, like we've been sold on it has to be analytics. That's the way that football's gone. It has to be the offensive guru. And while the Lions had Ben Johnson, they're also proving right now that the offense works without him. And it's like, okay, so you're basically making it work just off of the rah-rah stuff. You're making it work because people want to run through a wall for Dan Campbell.
Yeah, culture. The thing that we feel like has not been consistently there, that they say, from the analytics community, say isn't a real thing. The only culture is winning. And I actually disagree. Like that, like in fairness, the Browns did have some culture when the bottom was 7-10 or 8-9. Once you have 3-14, whatever culture you did had went out the window. Because I think there's a thin line between 7-10 and 10-7. There's not a thin line between 7-10 and 3-14.
Yeah, it's a massive difference. But like, I guess it's where it is because when you ask, like, is it basically me fabricating it? Right? Is it because I want it to happen? Yes, it is. Some way the rivalry, and obviously it's less because you're in the same division. There's a natural rivalry there with the Tigers. That's almost fabricated in the way of the Tigers making this more than what it is with the Guardians, too. Like, I don't like the Tigers. I also look at basically every other team in the division and go, I don't know that I dislike the Tigers a whole lot more than I dislike any of them. Like, right now, maybe a little.
Oh, I do.
But it's because of the right now.
No. That's also, you're a little young for this, but the Jim Leland years, that team is pretty cocky. With Miggy Cabrera, with Dontrell, Jim himself is not a, he's a plain-spoken dude as well, and so he said some stuff that we've not forgotten. So, like, of any of the teams, like, there was a minute in the the early aughts with the Twins. Not consistently with the Twins, though. The White Sox, not since 03, and that was a blip, or 05, I think it was. But that was like a blip. The Royals, They haven't been good hardly but three times. And by the way, the time they were best in the last 40 years was when you just had the time you stunk. This is like the Tigers, and it's also the proximity thing.
Yeah.
Like, I can't drive to Kansas City on a whim to go see a game between the two towns. Same thing with Minnesota. Chicago, maybe, but I'm still staying in Chicago if it's a 6:10 first pitch or a 7:10 first pitch. Whereas in Detroit, okay, that game ends at midnight, or sorry, that game ends at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. I can be at home in bed by 1. Like, I think all of those things stack up, but for some reason, only the Tigers and a little bit of the Pistons.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, I guess for me, being younger and like, obviously, like,
I get it. I remember, you're youthful, you jerk.
I'm just saying, I remember like the Miggy times. I remember when the Tigers were, they're obviously not as good right now as they may have appeared to be in the beginning of the season.
Clear. But
they're still all right.
They're okay.
Yeah. But like, I remember the times where they were good and competing for a World Series with Verlander and everybody else. But it's like, it's been so much of the rivalry with the Tigers over the past decade plus has been that's little brother. Like, we own them. It doesn't feel as much to me as like a true rivalry.
This is such, again, I will not punish you for being not, you don't remember everything of the Miggy Tigers. Because I will tell you, what Hosey does to them, Miguel Cabrera did to you for 14, 15 years.
Oh, I remember going to the games with my dad being young and having, every time I go, it's a Tigers game and Miggy ruins it for me.
I'm going to tell you, though, it really pissed me off. Because remember, I was, most of my baseball life, I'm used to running this division in one way or another. Mm-hmm. I was. I 94 to 01, every year. Even if you didn't win the division, you were a wild card team, you went farther than anyone else around you went. And then you had like the early wedge years. You still had 93 wins here. You had the almost World Series in 2007. And then from the ashes of that, the Tigers took over. And then, I didn't really hate this part, they traded for Johnny Peralta. They did this, that, the other. And no, I hate that team. Yeah, I do. That organization annoys me. They're also the only team in this division that acts more like a big market team than Minnesota, Kansas City, and even Chicago, even though they actually are a big market team. They've occasionally, you know, they've signed Miggy at points to $300 million deal, whatever it was. Verlander had a huge contract for a minute. Like, it's funny to then juxtapose this to the Browns game, because I don't think the Guardians-Tigers does anything for that game on Sunday, because that game has juice by virtue of the fact the Browns are coming off a win. And the Lions, you can start to do, well, the Lions also have a short week. And, oh, by the way, beating them would give you some sort of sense of self, because you've just beaten Green Bay and Detroit, even though those are out-of-conference wins and don't help you the same way if it was beating teams in your own division or their own conference. So it's this weird spot of, it's like, I'm also just like, well, that game only really has juice for me if the Browns kind of surprise people and make that a close game and even win that game.
So is this just a me chronically online thing where I'm just constantly living in like a half Detroit, like a Twitter space, basically, where I'm just constantly seeing that? Because, again, that feeling of, I know how they'll react if the Browns beat the Lions, that does something for me. Like, that fulfills something with me of being like, okay, so I'm watching you all crash out right now over the Tigers. Like, that's already as much fun as can be. If I can just add on one extra thing, if it can be the straw that breaks the camel back, and just watch you sit there and be like, that's it, Cleveland owns us. Like, that fulfills me now.
Maybe this is a better way to put it then, from where I'm thinking here. Because again, it's how you feel. I can't tell you how to feel. But so I look at the Guardians-Tigers game as the end-all be-all tonight. Finish off the sweep, finish off the division, finish off, potentially the 3 seed. Like, do this, right? And then anything that happens positively in the Browns and Lions game is a kicker. So it doesn't add juice to that game, but it's like, I'm as a Cleveland fan, I'm playing with house money on Sunday. Because we are coming off a win that nobody thought we should have gotten, which is a little fluky. And, oh boy, we just tattooed your ass. So anything you say to me about, oh, how'd that Lions game go? I'll be like, how'd that Tiger series go? How'd both those Tiger series go? By the way, we're probably going to see you this next week. Like, I guess we're in this rare situation where it does feel like, oh, hot damn. Like, well, I can just let the Browns roll out on Sunday. We'll see how it goes. but I'm a little Teflon because things are going so well. Okay, it's like if your personal life is going really well and the professional life isn't. It's like, that's fine. That's just work, right? Like, I'll deal with work when I got to work, but everything's so gravy here, life is undefeated. That's kind of where I am right now.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like we're both making it into win-win scenarios. It's just like we're taking different paths to get to a win-win scenario. Either way.
I like my path better.
Well, I like my path better.
I think we all know whose path is better.
I have a longer path.
Ooh, big shooter over here. La-ti-da-ti-da. Nim Jaber saying Victor Martinez. Every Guardians fan, every Indians fan knows exactly what that means. Yes. I think it's switched around for Jim Nabors, who was Gomer Pyle. That was a show in the 60s. Jake?
No clue.
Oh, I hate you a little bit. Cool Ray in Bedford. How we doing, buddy?
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
Living the dream, buddy. What you got?
Yo, so I heard you guys say something about rivalries and stuff like that with Detroit and the Guardians and, you know, the Browns. So I look at, like, you know, I'm 52, so I just think the word rivalries is dead. I just think, like, players are bouncing around so much. When I grew up, I think when you grew up, Nick, players stayed on the team, so we got to know they were, like, part of our family. Now they're just bouncing around, so I think loyalty just comes with the team. This thing with the Guardians is exciting because we were out of it, and we've never seen a team implode the way Detroit is imploding. So, yeah, it's exciting, but I don't think it's a rivalry. I don't think nothing what we're seeing is a rivalry. I think with my Browns, I think that Stefanski and the defense aren't talking. I think that the defense is trying to win, while I think the offense is just trying to not play to win. I don't want to say lose, but...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
They're just not playing to...
I actually kind of I understand what you're saying, Cool Ray, and I appreciate you, buddy. Thank you for weighing in. I think the defense is doing everything they can to win every game, and I do think the offense is playing not to lose, and that is different than trying to win. And I understand why they're doing it. The problem is you're facing a lot of teams that you should just try and win. You should just try, and again, that's not saying that they're not literally trying to win. But they think the best way to win is by boxing up Joe and, you know, controlling the football and then just allowing the defense to win you the game. But if you're going to beat Detroit, you have to win in all three phases of the game. You kind of got lucky beating Green Bay with one of the phases of the game tied behind your back. 216-474-0092. Does the Guardians-Tigers divisional race add more juice to the Lions game? Quick hits in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angel, Angel,
to the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry, hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
As you know, Jake, Jackson Dart replacing Russell Wilson as the Giants' starting quarterback and defensive tackle, Dexter Lawrence, appears thrilled with the news.
That ain't my call, honestly. He's my quarterback now, so I'm going to be by his side and roll with him to the end.
How concerned should Giants fans be that the locker room isn't behind Dart after that answer?
Not that this is out of context. I feel like this might be one where Dexter Lawrence just, like, he did not seem thrilled. I don't know that this was the sell of, I don't believe in Jackson Dart, it's whatever. I think that was, I could imagine a Browns player giving that answer.
I think, yeah, that's not the endorsement you think it might be.
Well, it might be with the Giants. They're not good either.
So here's the thing. I think it's like the Switzerland of answers, because I agree with you. It's not like I don't care. I think it's like, he's the quarterback and I'm behind him. That doesn't mean you're actually behind him, though. Like, I think this is the right move for this. I think when a locker room's ambivalent about a quarterback move, that might actually be worse than if they violently hated it. Right?
Yeah, in a way.
You'd like your locker room to feel some sort of way when the answer 3 weeks in is, he's my quarterback. Oh, boy. And Dexter's got a personality. That's not a guy who doesn't have a personality to talk.
Yeah, it might just be overall the Giants locker room or the Giants quarterback room that's just purely bad then, because I can tell you right now, I don't think any of those players are excited out of what they saw to Russ throwing the ball, 20 feet over the back of the end zone 18 times in one game. I don't think they'd be very excited about Jameis. Makes sense that you go to Jackson Dart. I don't know. It feels like it's not that bad.
Omaha!
Let's go to Mike Tomlin talking to the media, where he mentions a little bit of Joe Flacco, but accidentally throw shade at Anthony Richardson.
In the short term, that Carson is playing for him. We were in a similar situation a year ago. We were playing in Indianapolis, man, and I commented to the guys that, keep Richardson upright. Don't put Flacco in the game, and, Flacco ended up in the game.
Nick, which quarterback would you rather have, 2025 Joe Flacco, or would you rather have Anthony Richardson?
2025 Joe Flacco. That is process of elimination. Anthony Richardson is barely awake in meetings. He's barely a football player. He's not a real adult. I hope he figures it out, because physically he is as talented as you can possibly be. I've seen 100 Anthony Richardsons come to the NFL and wash out quickly as first-round picks in my lifetime. At least with Joe, he'll be the adult in the room.
Yeah, I think that's the only thing you have going for you. Because, I'd probably very slightly lean Joe. I don't know that this wasn't just shade thrown at both of them, or should have been shade thrown at both of them. It's like, okay, if they put in Joe Flacco, they might be better, but they're not going to be good. Like, Joe wasn't good with Indianapolis. It's just, he wasn't, coming off the field on critical third downs and fourth downs, because I'm a little bit tired.
Yeah, and listen, Anthony had a couple moments where he was fine. And he had a couple winning moments there, but it's like, I can't trust you to do the work during the week. Why am I going to trust you on Sundays? At the very least, I know Joe will do everything he can to win. You might not win, right? But I know his teammates are going to be behind the human being there. There's so many things with Anthony that you have to worry with that you just don't with Joe.
I think if I was an opposing head coach, I'd actually be more scared of Anthony Richardson in a way, though.
Show your work very quickly.
Just because of the physical attributes. Like, he can do something as a runner. He's a little bit raw as a passer, but the deep throws there. Like, he had a lot of deep connections with Josh Downs, Zell Pierce.
A little raw? Very raw. But it's sushi. Yeah. That's kind of raw we're talking about there.
It's a lot to work on.
Omaha!
Rays reliever Peter Fairbanks blew a kiss towards the Orioles dugout this week, but he insisted after the game it wasn't towards the dugout.
For people that want to speculate out there, this is straight from the source. It was to a guy about Adam Berry's size, wearing about a 2008 Majestic dugout jacket and a dad Orioles hat. Look, from everything I've heard about their squad, from Bake and everything, I don't think that I'd be chirping a group of Lego-loving people like that, especially after, unfortunately, smoking their number one prospect.
All right. Who caught the worst stray there? The Orioles dad or the Orioles themselves?
I think it was the Orioles themselves. The Orioles, that stuff wasn't great, but he just ripped apart the Orioles right there.
So the cherry on top is, I smoked your number one prospect and struck him out. The real insult is there's no, listen, I love Legos. I'm an adult who, when my kids play with Legos, I'm like, if I have to, all right? Still, if somebody called me a Lego-loving human being, those are fighting words. As adults, there's a connotation to that you're not a real adult. And by the way, no one hates those connotations more than baseball players who are sensitive to any kind of insult, whether it's a good insult or not. The Orioles caught the worst stray here.
Yeah, I don't love the Orioles dad part of it either. Very weird interaction altogether.
I'm here for Peter Fairbanks.
Yeah?
No one talks more crap in baseball through the media than Peter Fairbanks. When he washes out, every reliever washes out. When he's on his, I got to make the end of my career last, be it in Cleveland.
You're just looking for the mile straw climb the center field wall, basically.
Yes. Yeah, but it's like with Lego adult slang that I'm just like, all right, Like when somebody's like, I'm gonna kick their ass, it doesn't do anything for me anymore. I shouldn't say that. It doesn't hit as hard as when somebody has a very creative insult, like a surgically precise insult of you as a human being that cannot be denied is so much better than like, you're a wimp.
Yeah, still, I don't think I'd be that bothered by it.
But you're 22. You still play with Legos.
I actually do build Legos. I enjoy that. It's a lot of fun.
See?
You said you like him, too. Cal Raleigh hit his 60th home run of the season.
Big jumper!
That is the most by a catcher in a single season, period. It's most by a Mariner in a single season, period. Now, the story's in the stands, though. A fan caught the ball, and then before the Mariners team members could approach him, because obviously they're going to want that one back, he handed it to a kid and allowed the kid to be taken away by the Mariners team member. Would you have done the same?
No.
I don't think I would have either.
No. Actually, I'm going to take that back. I have kids. So, yeah, I'd have to set that good example. I would. I'd be so tempted to be like, could we get a milli out of this? Could I get 100,000 and maybe free tickets for next year? Something like that. And in the end, if there's a little kid right next to me, I'd be like, you need this more than me. Right?
No, I think the $100,000 more than the kid.
No, that kid could go to college off that. By the way, the kid could just decide to keep the ball. The kid could just decide to keep the ball.
Yeah, okay, if this is a random home run ball, I'm giving that away every single time. Like, that doesn't matter to me. It doesn't mean anything to me. When it's a $100,000 ball, no, that one's for me. I'm holding on to that one.
No, I think it means even more. It's the most, like, a random home run ball is a nice gesture. It really is. But a potential six figures baseball is like the nicest thing you could do. That is the ultimate eschewing of monetary, of you know, some sort of financial whatever. Even if you need it, it's the most human thing you could do.
That's like finding a winning lottery ticket on the ground and being like, you know what? There's a kid right there. Let me hand it to him.
That's not even close. Kids don't play the lottery. He couldn't even cash it, by the way.
No, he couldn't. But
yeah,
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying is what you say.
If you find $100,000 on the ground, you're just going to be like, the kid needs it more. No, I'm okay. I'll take the $100,000.
No, that's totally different. The kid's not going to go home, and he's not going to frame the lottery ticket.
He's not going to keep the ball either. His parents would not let him keep a ball that they're offering $100,000. They're going to tell him, that sends you to college.
Well, then it's the parents' job to be like, hey, let's split this. But if you're going to that's not right. If you're going to force the kid to do it, then as a parent, you have to be like, hey, let's all get this together. But if it's the kid's decision, he gets to make that decision. Well, that's the kid's decision. You did the right thing handing him the baseball. That was a very kind thing. You are you play with Legos and you are mean to children. That's all I've learned about you in this segment.
Not a father.
That you know of. Unbeaten USC is on the road in Champaign, Illinois this week to face 23rd ranked Illinois with a noon kickoff, which greatly displeases Trojans head coach Lincoln Riley.
Going from the absolute latest kick in the country to the absolute earliest kick in the country is has its challenges, but the challenge is, like, it is what it is, right? We don't make the schedule, and so clearly. And so, we've had to adapt a little bit in the way that we prepare.
Does Lincoln Riley have a right to gripe about this early game for USC?
I don't really think so. Like, I'd be irritated if I was a part of the fan base. I'd be irritated if I was a coach or the players, but NFL players go from playing on Sunday to Thursday or from playing on Monday to Sunday. You have short turnarounds in this game. And it's like, you don't make the schedule. You also, as big programs, get to pick some of your schedule and end up scheduling cupcakes anyway, where you're going to go play Grambling State and then turn around and play not another great team. If there's a back-to-back that you don't like, so be it. You also played two gimme wins at some point there, too.
I'm aware that college coaches do not have the power they had 20 years ago. I'm also aware that if Fox wants your game at noon, Fox is going to get your game at noon. Mm-hmm. Coaches have so much more power than they ever admit. So while I understand there are logistical reasons why going from the latest game played to the earliest game played the next week, the body clock stuff is real, and I do understand that. But when he's like, we don't control the schedule, it's like, that's not entirely true. And like, it's playing the us against them, and it's like, you're all the same team. Like, the network, the conference, and you're all the same team here. If you really hated this, something tells me you could do something about it. So it falls a little bit on deaf ears with that one. John Fanta, NBC Sports, joins us next. We'll get into the Guardians-Tigers series to a man who loves him some Cleveland Guardians baseball in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.